Please turn to Exodus chapter 19. As Christians, I don't believe that we, generally speaking, truly understand the relevance of the Old Testament to the New Testament. More specifically, the relevance of what happened to the, what you might call Jewish history as revealed in the Old Testament compared to the body of Christ today. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about that things from the Old Testament were written as examples unto us. And specifically, the things that the Jews did that where they just completely messed up. And in the New Testament, it says, take that as a warning. Take it as a warning. Now, that being true, even though we're not under the law of Moses, the concepts and the principles that God laid down for the Jews in the Old Testament are carried over into the body of Christ. Now, we understand where it talks about, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Well, back then it was a day, but now it is, to keep it short and simple, our salvation in Jesus Christ. So, some of the specifics aren't the same today, but the general message, the standards that God revealed in the Old Testament are still for today. Now, in Exodus chapter 19, look at this. God is speaking to Moses to speak to the people. And it says in verse 5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So in this we see God telling the nation of Israel that, look, I'm going to let you know what you need to do and what you shouldn't be doing. I'm just going to lay it out to you. And if you'll do it my way, then what's going to happen is you are going to stand out above every people group in the entire world. So, that in mind, and keep in mind here what was written and how that was written. We'll look over, keep your finger here in Exodus. We're coming back to the Old Testament. But look over in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and see if this sounds familiar. This is being spoken to the body of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God made a prophetic statement to the Jews, in that he was looking beyond the cross, but he was telling them, if you, the Jewish people, will do it my way, then you will be, and what he described is essentially repeated here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So we now, as believers, as Christians, are that chosen generation. We are that royal priesthood. And that's important to keep in mind, a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a peculiar people. And part of our responsibility is to show forth the praises of God who's called us out of darkness. Why is that? To be an example to the world. The world is supposed to look at the body of Christ as being different, not as being the same. There should not be compromise. There should be a distinct difference between us and the world. But that's not always true, and we know that. Well, leaving your finger here in 1 Peter, because we're going to come back to the New Testament in just a moment, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and begin in verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation. This great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So he says, look, if you'll do it the way I'm telling you to, then you will not be a part of what the world is, what the pagan nations. And then the pagan nations will look at you and they will say, these people, there's something very special about them. Consider their laws. Consider their standards. Consider the way they live. They're different from us. And they're living a life that's blessed. There's something good that's happening to them. You know, what other nation in the world is like this? Okay, now, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, in other places in Scripture, and there's so much we could have looked at tonight or could look at, but you know, God is telling them, or he warned the Jewish people, he said, you know, don't be intermingling with these pagan nations. Just don't do it. Keep to yourself and do what I've told you and be the example. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. So what we see here is kind of a variation on the theme of what he said to the Jewish people. He told them, be different. Don't be like the world. Don't mingle with the world. And he's telling us the same thing as the body of Christ. He's saying, come out from among them and be separate. Now, obviously, you cannot separate yourself from the existence of the lost people. We understand that. But he's saying, you don't have a fellowshipping lifestyle with the lost. You just don't. That's what he's saying here. You just don't. Well, right now, we've already stirred some stuff up. Because you've got Christians out there, their best friends are the lost. And try and confront them over that. You know, well, but we have to reach the lost. Yeah. Let's see, how did Jesus do that? Some people say, well, he went seeking for the lost. He didn't have a choice. He was the only person on earth with God's life. Everywhere he went, people were lost. Even the apostles were lost. So he didn't have a choice. But here's what you notice. Wherever Jesus went, he did not go into a village. You can't read this in Scripture, where he went into a village and said, okay, anybody here lost? I have good news for you. No, he didn't do that. He ministers some people. People get healed, so forth. And his reputation spread. And the people recognized there's something different about that man. And when he showed up, people followed him. He didn't have to go looking for them. They showed up. That's the way it's supposed to be for us. And see, here's... oh, glory to God. That right there should tell you there's a major problem in the body of Christ. Who is coming to look for us? Now, I'm telling you, if each one of us in this room, and I'm here, I'm in this too now, if we all had a track record of when we pray for somebody, boom, they get healed, you don't think people would come looking for you? Yeah, you better believe it. You know, you're in the store and somebody, I mean, I remember one time I'm in a department store, and this lady collapses on the floor. And so I went over, and her friends were with her, and I said, do you mind, would you want me to pray for her? I'm a pastor. And then, oh, yeah, please, please. So I prayed for her, and she kind of came around. It had something to do with blood sugar, diabetes, something like that. Well, anyway, she kind of came around a little bit, but what should have happened was, boom, she's back up on her feet and healed of the diabetes. That's what should have happened. And if that had happened, I guarantee you she and her friends would be begging me to tell them, where do you pastor? When's your next service? But see, it didn't happen that way. Now, it's on me. It's not on God. That's on me. There's supposed to be a difference. And we see this in Scripture. Now, let's take it a little bit further. The United States of America is probably the most, or one, it may be, I mean, I don't know about every country on this planet. So I'll say it this way. The United States of America may be the most gospel-friendly nation in the world when it comes to being able to preach. Now, I know that we've been hammered with restrictions in the schools and all that. I know that, okay? But still, you're allowed to say the name Jesus. You're allowed to walk down the street with a Bible in your hand. And so, we talk about Jesus is Lord over the United States. Well, it's not a wrong thing to say that. But is that declaration a manifested reality in this country? No, it's not. So let's think about this for a moment. We say Jesus is Lord over the United States. Now, we know that the kingdom of God is within. But remember, when God gave instructions to the Jews, He said, okay, here's your land. And it's defined, the borders and all that. I mean, here's your land. This is what I'm giving you. Now, you be separate from the rest of the world, all these pagan nations, and do not let them bring their pagan stuff across your borders. Now, that's what He said in Scripture. And it's almost like a lot of Christians don't understand that. God, let me say it in a way that might make sense to some people. God told Israel to be isolationists. And there are people today who say that the United States should not be an isolationist country. Do you realize the concept of non-isolationism is what has gotten, is part of what's gotten this country in the mess that it's in? Here's the problem, though. In the body of Christ, we have been so inundated by the liberal media, by the liberal concepts, and by what we see and hear, we have lost touch with the full standards that God has declared in His Word. Now, but let's think about this here. Let's say that the United States became a kingdom nation. In other words, a kingdom of God, a nation that represents the kingdom of God. Let's say that happens. So then, what would this country be like? What would be going on? What wouldn't be going on? Well, for one thing, there would be absolutely, positively, nowhere to be found any bars, taverns, saloons, liquor stores, or alcohol-serving restaurants. Wouldn't exist.
Well, now, Brother Martin, you,
now hold on. Hold on. You have to develop a kingdom mindset approach to this. It wouldn't exist. Look in Leviticus chapter 10. Now remember, in the Old Testament, it's essentially a type and shadow or a prophetic image of what's supposed to be going on in the body of Christ. Leviticus chapter 10. Now just look at verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. He didn't say don't get drunk on it. He said don't drink it. How many of you see that? Seriously, how many of you see it? Is that in your Bible? Where he said you don't drink it. Lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. And that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Now look over in Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine nor strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. Now, I'm not going to go off on a tangent, but I'm firmly convinced that those are types and shadows of an instruction. Christians, lay off the alcohol. Oh, no, 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 Brother Martin, that's Old Testament. What did God say? Aaron and his sons. Aaron priest, the sons were priests, right? Now's not the time to disagree, because I just read it to you. And what does the Bible say has happened to us? We have been made kings and priests unto God. Now, I know you've got a lot of Christians, well, yeah, but I drink in moderation. Sorry, but I don't see that in Scripture.
Well, yes, but the Apostle Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake.
I understand that. I'm not arguing that point. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There are some Christians, my impression has been there are some Christians who really like it when they go into countries where the Christians see consuming alcohol as just a thing to do, because it gives them an opportunity to consume and hopefully not feel guilty about it. Pastor Dave Roberson was over, I forget what country it was, and man, some of the Christians were drinking. Oh, it's okay, go ahead. He said, well, no, it's okay, we won't think anything less of you. And he said, yeah, but there are going to be two people who know I do this, me and Jesus. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't do this. They were going to accept it. And he said, no, there's a standard. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one. No, don't eat. Don't fellow. If you've got a Christian who's known to be like this, he said, you don't even eat with them. You draw the line. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do ye not judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Meaning those outside the body of Christ, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. You say, well, you know, but I don't get drunk. You realize drunk is a relative statement? Some people can have one glass of wine and don't let them drive. And in some people, like Gary Carpenter, he'll talk about how he was a functional drunk, functional alcoholic. He drank a lot, but still was able to, you know, get around. Me, I would drink, back when I drank, good heavens, I drank so much, but I could get behind the wheel and drive just like I was sober. But I was so stinking drunk. So the whole thing of drunkenness is a relative statement. What's the best way not to get drunk? That's not a hard one there. Look in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what more do you need to know? I find it so amazing that there are Christians who will do everything they can to defend the consumption of alcohol. And it doesn't matter what you say, they're going to defend it. Okay, let me ask you this. How will your life diminish if you stop consuming alcohol? And here's another question. How will your testimony increase if you stop consuming alcohol? There are Christians, remember we're talking about a kingdom nation here? And already I have Christians that would be extremely upset with me. Well, you're just being legalistic. Show me in Scripture where God makes the exception. Take a little wine for your stomach. I understand that part. I'm not here to teach on the fermentation laws of the Old Testament, but do you have any idea what you're saying? Seriously? Most Christians don't. Now let's think about this. Remember, kingdom nation. No bars, taverns, saloons, liquor stores, no alcohol-serving restaurants. You get the idea. No carryouts, all of that. In other words, you can't buy. Well, it'd be prohibition all over again. Yeah, I probably would. But that doesn't change the fact that if you're in a kingdom nation, that's the way it's going to be. Take it a step further. How many people, if there are no bars, no taverns, none of this, okay? How many people would never have gotten a DUI in their life? How many? How many thousands and thousands? How many would never have gotten a DUI? How many drunk driving accidents would have never taken place? How many drunk driving deaths would never have taken place? How many alcohol-related broken marriages would have never been broken? The people would have stayed married. How many people would never have had cirrhosis of the liver and died? How many? How many acts of crime would have never taken place? How many alcoholics would not exist? They wouldn't be alcoholics today. See, people don't think about these kind of things. And yet, if we lived in a kingdom nation, this would be the condition. It would be so totally different. Right along with that, in a kingdom nation, there would be no tobacco use. None. It wouldn't exist. You say, well, what? There wouldn't be cigarettes. There wouldn't be pipes. There wouldn't be chewing tobacco, cigars, snuff, etc., etc. It wouldn't exist. Think about this. If this were a kingdom nation and that did not exist, how many people would never have gotten cancer? How many people would never have gotten emphysema? How many people would not have developed other respiratory sicknesses? And how many people would never have died from those kinds of sicknesses and afflictions? Do you really think somebody goes to God and says, oh God, I want to start a business. I want to grow tobacco, and then I want to fix it so that people can smoke it. So God, can I have your blessings on that? Can you seriously imagine God saying, well, sure, you go right ahead. Don't worry. All the people that get sick and everything, by Jesus' stripes, they were healed. I mean, do you really believe that God gives His approval to things like that? No. But we as Christians don't even think of it like that. We are so accustomed to accepting the fallenness of this country and what goes on, we don't even think about what it would be like in a kingdom nation. What else would we see here in this nation? There would be no legalized drugs. Pot, coke, cocaine, you know, none of those drugs. None would be. Do you realize in California, you can have LSD, you can have heroin, and you cannot be arrested for it. You can have it in your possession. And they can't arrest you for it now. Is that dumber than dumb? Honestly, it's almost a wonder California hasn't, the San Andreas Fault hasn't already caused half that state to sink. Seriously. You would in you're here in Galatians 5, in verse 20, you see the word witchcraft. Well, that's the Hebrew word pharmakia, and it means what it sounds like, but it also means the use of drugs to create a hallucinogenic state. So God says, don't do it. So these Christians that want to go back to Genesis, God said every herb-bearing plant, and then they want to use that to justify smoking pot. No! You can't! Not in a kingdom nation! And not in the kingdom either. Yeah, you can be high on a kite, you won't even know when the rapture takes place. Whoa, dude, man, I think it's already happened. No, he's not come back yet. Oh, feels like it, man, dude. What else would we not have in this country? We would not have any legal prostitution. There would be no strip clubs. There would be no nude or semi-nude or sex, implied or real, on TV, in movies, in books, in magazines. There would be no porn on the internet whatsoever. There would be no skimpy swimwear for men or women. It wouldn't exist. Look, you're here in 1 Corinthians? No, where are you? You're in Galatians. Okay, 1 Corinthians. Look in chapter 6. Verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. That word fornication, it literally is talking about any kind of sexual activity outside the boundaries of marriage. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Psalm 101 verse 3 says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. 1 Timothy 2, 9 through 10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, what it's describing there is not talking about you can't wear jewelry. It's talking about the promiscuous presentation of the female body back then. That's what this is talking about. And I've seen women profess, I've seen in church, I've seen more cleavage than I care to even think about. And it's some women, they're almost proud of how big their boobs are and want to show them off. It's pathetic and it's disgusting. It is sin. Listen, every woman knows what she's got and how to show it. And there's some women that do that on purpose just to catch the eye of the man. Now they know that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Same thing would go with women. If you're looking at a man to lust, and it, you know, you cannot say, well, I watch pornography, but I don't lust. You lying dog! Come on, you think I'm that stupid? If you're not lusting, then why do you get sexually aroused? Come on. You can tell there are no kids in here right now. If this were truly a kingdom nation, none of that stuff would exist. A kingdom nation. It would not exist. Right along with that, if this were truly a kingdom nation, the people up on the platforms of churches would have a kingdom appearance. You wouldn't have people on the platform representing Jesus Christ to the world in torn, tattered, beat up jeans and clothing and so forth and tight stuff and women wearing stuff that shows it off, midriff and all this. No, it wouldn't be like that. Not if this were a kingdom nation. Look, if we want to have a kingdom atmosphere, why on God's green earth do we allow those things in the church? I mean, we don't hear, but why? Why is it allowed? What else would we experience? There'd be no foul language in TV or movies or music or print or any other way. It would not be there. It wouldn't exist. If you get born and you're raised in a culture where GD and BS and MF and all this other stuff is just common, then guess what? To you, it's just a word. You understand what I'm saying? What you miss is the fact it has an impact. And it's wrong. Listen to this. Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Well, yeah, but that's, you know, the GD stuff. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, it's amazing how many biblical scholars there are in the body of Christ who are totally clueless. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That phrase, corrupt communication, includes the four-letter expletives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, for this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And that verse 4, part of that is talking about the your four-letter words. Look over in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 8. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Filthy communication, that's the stuff. You know, not all the bad words are four letters. Some have like five or six. But he's talking about, no, clean up your mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God, my strength, my Redeemer. The words of my mouth. You know, if you do something or if you see something and you go to God and say, God, what do you think about that? You think he's going to say, that's nothing but a bunch of BS. And he doesn't use the letters? Seriously? If God's angry at somebody, do you think he's going to say that F? Come on. You know better. But you've got Christians who justify it. Well, it's just a word. No, it's more than a word. Words carry power. And we know that. I mean, my goodness, if you don't know that in this church by now. Look. You know what else we wouldn't have? You would have absolutely, positively no horoscopes, no palm readers, no psychic hotlines, none of that stuff. None of it would exist. And look over in Leviticus chapter 19. You think, well, I don't do that. Oh, you'd be shocked. How many Christians check the horoscope every day? You'd be shocked how many Christians want to know their sign to know what their life will be like. You might be shocked at how many Christians believe the stars have power to control their lives. Yeah. We live in a sheltered church, thank God. You're in Leviticus 19. In Exodus 22, verse 18, God said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. In Exodus chapter 19, look at verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Chapter 20, verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards and go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. From God's perspective, if you go after the horoscope, he considers that the spiritual equivalent of you going after whores. That's what he says right here. And then if you look in chapter 20, verse 27, let me turn over there. Chapter 20, verse 27. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. It would not exist in this country. And you wouldn't be able to access it on the internet. It wouldn't happen. Not in a kingdom nation. Revelation 21, verses 6 through 8 says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Do you really believe that God would allow something in his kingdom nation that sends people to the lake of fire for all eternity? It's not going to happen. It would not exist in a kingdom nation. What else would not exist in a kingdom nation? There would absolutely, positively, nowhere in this country be found churches or religions which do not definitively declare that Jesus is the Christ and the only way to salvation. They would not exist. You would not have the Buddhist temples, the Muslim mosque. You wouldn't have that. Yeah, but Brother Martin, you don't understand. Freedom of religion. They didn't have it back in Israel. And God told them, you incorporate those practices, you'll die. There will be judgment on you, and I will send you to death. In a kingdom nation, there is only one way, only one church, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. There's another. Look over in Exodus chapter 20. See, some people say, "Well, Brother Martin, you're being kind of hard." No, what I'm trying to do is bring to light the reality of our situation and God's standards. We say we want Jesus to be Lord over this country. Well, this is the way it would be if Jesus were Lord in this country. This is the way it would be. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." If you have any other religion other than that which definitively says Jesus is it, there's no other way, God says, you hate me. This is what He says in His Word. Not only that, but you're not going to have any churches that lift up the name of Jesus, but then say, the power of the Holy Spirit is no longer flowing. Tongues are not for today. Healing's not for today. It's not going to happen. Not in a kingdom nation, because the power of the Holy Spirit still flows in a kingdom nation. Healing still exists in a kingdom nation. All of this still exists in a kingdom nation. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. As you go through the New Testament, what you find is repeatedly an emphasis on you teach the doctrine the apostles gave us. In a kingdom nation, that is the only doctrine. And not only that, Revelation chapter 2, remember the other day we read how God said, you know what, those you folks there in that church, you know, you've done this good, but I have somewhat against you. And He talks about spewing people out of His mouth, blotting their names out of the book of life for things that are today accepted in the body of Christ. Those people need to get back there and read Revelation. Galatians 5:20 talks about heresies. What you also would not have in a kingdom nation are churches voting to determine whether or not certain behaviors are sin. It wouldn't happen. Nobody's going to be voting on that stuff because the doctrine's already established by the Word in a kingdom nation. In a kingdom nation. Oh, if you're not upset yet, this one's going to get you. Some people. In a kingdom, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because we're going to have to hurry to get the scripture on this one before somebody throws something at me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In a kingdom nation, in a truly kingdom nation, there would not be any kind of welfare system as we now know it. It would not exist. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And take a look, just go to verse 11. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power to do those things, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. In other words, they're sponging off everybody else because they don't want to work. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. See that? Jesus said, you'll always have the poor among you. And we know that. There are some people that, you know, physical whatevers they're going through, you know, they basically can't work. I get that. But you and I both know, you've got people out there who could work and they're not, and they're sucking the life out of... Here's what you may not be thinking. They're sucking the life out of your bank account. Because you're the one that's supporting them. Oh, no, Brother Martin, the government's supporting them. Where's the government get its money? You ever look at your paycheck and see all that money? It's called taxes. Yeah. We're the ones that are doing that. We're supporting that through the taxes. And you've got a lot of people in the church, and Christians today, they're like this, man. They're lazy. They're lazy. I've encountered them. And they'll always have a reason why they can't work. And you're going to find that today. Look, there are women out there, they keep having babies so they can get more money from the government. Do you realize what I just said? Some people want to take me out and shoot me for being racist. I don't remember mentioning any skin color. Do you? No. And yet, this is the way we live in this country. This is what's going on. No, you would not have any welfare system the way we know it. You would have a method of help, but you know where that method, you know where that help would be coming from? The churches. It wouldn't be a burden on the government. The churches would be doing that. Think about how much money would be loosened up if you didn't have all the alcohol stuff, all the tobacco stuff, and all the drugs. I mean, think about all the money to be loose in the body of Christ. Now, while we're talking about money, here's another one that you wouldn't have. It's not in my notes. Should have been. You would not have professional sports in this country the way it is. You would not have the amateur sports like college, basketball, and football. You wouldn't have it. Not the way it is in this country. Listen, basketball, football, hockey, soccer, baseball, multi-billion dollar industries. Guys are getting paid $10, $20, $30 million a year to swing a piece of wood at a round ball, to throw an air-inflated circular rubber ball into a hoop. That wouldn't exist. You know why? Because there's no wisdom in that structure. There's entertainment, but there's no wisdom. In a kingdom nation, besides that, in a true kingdom nation, we wouldn't be so totally focused on that, we'd lose our focus on the kingdom purpose for being here.
You know what else we wouldn't have, or what would exist in this country if this were truly a kingdom nation? There would be no national debt. There would be no national debt at all. This nation would not be in debt to anybody. Well, Brother Martin, how do you figure that? Well, because the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Right before I came out here tonight, well, you know, earlier today, I looked up, as of today, the statistics I looked up, the national debt of the United States of America is $29 trillion. $29 trillion. It wasn't like that a year ago. $29 trillion. Now, if you had the responsibility to pay this off, assuming it doesn't continue to grow, and you were to pay $1,000 per day, it would take you 29 billion days to pay it off, which comes out to 79 million years. So, you're going to pay it off or what? I mean, hey, we're waiting on you. There would be no national debt. Do you know one of the absolute biggest scams ever perpetrated upon citizens is that having some debt is good for your credit? You remember those words I was talking about earlier? And okay, a lot of those apply right now. Which ones, Brother Martin? But they apply. In a kingdom nation, that makes no sense. In a kingdom nation, debt doesn't help. Debt is a detriment. Owe no man anything but to love. In a kingdom nation, this country would not have any debt whatsoever. You know why? Because in a kingdom nation, the wisdom of God would be used to steward the money, and not only that, but you wouldn't have the government funding all kinds of filth and trash and abortions and all this other stuff. It wouldn't happen. Not in a kingdom nation. There would be no national debt. Now, here's one for you. If there's no national debt, guess what? Your taxes don't have to be so high. If you go back and study in the Old Testament, yeah, the Jews, they paid taxes, but it was a straight amount. And I'm not going to get into the debate of how we should tax. I'm just telling you, it wasn't like it back then. It wasn't like it is here today. You know what else? There would be absolute, in a kingdom nation, there would be absolutely no permission for homosexuality, male or female, same gender marriage, or trans anything. It would not be legal. Now, even in the Old Testament, in the Jewish nation, there were people who, you know, did stuff like that. And God said, when you find them, kill them. That sounds cold, but that's what God said. Put them to death. Man shall not lie with man as man lieth with a woman. Put them to death. It wouldn't exist. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord our God. So these men and women that want to dress like the other, God is saying you're an abomination. It wouldn't be legal. You'd probably have people try it. Now, remember, when I say kingdom nation, I'm not talking about a nation full of people born again, spirit filled. I'm talking about a nation that is governed by God's kingdom principles. You need to understand that. And so, listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That effeminate and the abusers of themselves with mankind, those are nice ways of describing a lot of the behavior that's so popular today. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And if you need more proof on this, just read Romans chapters 1 and 2. It's very clear. God says, you do this kind of stuff, you know what? You're condemning yourself to death. Not physical death, eternal death, eternal separation. What else? What else would we see in this nation if it were truly a kingdom nation? All schools would be Christ-centered and operated by sold-out-to-God Christians. All schools. All schools, no exception. Now, granted, they would also be teaching, you know, the sciences and the
the mathematics, I mean, all these other things would be taught. But they would all be Christ-centered. There would be a heavy, heavy emphasis on the Word of God. Now, for more teaching on that, get my sermon from January 2nd, 2022, the Sunday morning sermon entitled Armageddon with the Flesh. I go into detail about the educational system. But in this country, you would not have... How many of you, maybe you saw, I put out a post. There was a school in New York that they banned the song Jingle Bells. Because they said it's a racist song. Yeah, they said it's a racist song. Jingle bells, jingle bells. You know, dancing or riding through the snow, one horse open sleigh. And I'm thinking, how on God's green earth? And I'm not even going to get into how they figured out to call it a racist song. Jingle bells. Good heavens. All the schools would be Christ-centered. All of them. Christ-focused. You would, throughout this entire nation, every school would be doing their part to train up a child in the way they should go. And I'll just mention one more here. In a truly kingdom nation, there would be no abortion. Now, if you need scripture for that, you got a problem. You know, if you're born again, you need scripture. Well, prove to me there'd be no abortion. What about the don't shed innocent blood? I mean, look, unborn babies are humans. You abort them, that's murder. And God said something about no murderer making it to heaven. I wouldn't want to be a part of that. Now, here's the thing. I've shared, there's more we could go into, but what I've shared with you here tonight, if we're totally honest with ourselves, there will never be truly a kingdom nation on this planet until Jesus comes back. And everything that currently exists is, you know, burned up with the fervent heat, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, at that time, we will truly have what you might call a kingdom nation. I understand that. However, one thing's for sure. Even if we do not have and we're not going to see a truly kingdom nation, the fact remains we can have a kingdom life and a kingdom home. We can. We can be separate from all the stuff out there. And so that brings up, you know, what are we watching? What are we listening to? I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, there was a show on here not too long ago. Kathy and I were watching it. I won't say which one it is, but it's supposed to be a family-oriented show. And right toward the end of the show, what they did was present the concept of making pornographic movies as being acceptable. And I thought, you know what? Now I remember why I quit watching that show. Up until then, it kind of seemed they weren't doing that. I mean, yeah, I'm not going into the whole thing of the show. But, yeah, at the end of it, it just came out that, well, you know, you're making those kind of movies. Well, okay, I get it. I understand. But, you know, no. It's wrong. But that subtle kind of stuff gets sewn into people. And if you're not guarding your heart, it starts eating away on the inside of a believer. And this is why other places it does talk about, you know, guarding your heart. And to everything I've read here tonight, what we've read in Scripture, the warnings that God has given, we have to be separate. Look, if all the Christians in this nation stopped watching the questionable shows, do you realize the questionable shows would go off the air? We can have a kingdom life, but it requires us living according to the standards of God's kingdom word. Is that, you know, some people say, well, you know, you take all the fun out of life. Okay, you know, you just told me a whole lot about you. The joy of the Lord is our strength, not the pleasures of the flesh from the things of the world. Now, I'm guessing and hoping that none of us fall into any of those categories that we read about. But a truly kingdom nation is far different from what we see in this country right now. We can do the best we can and pray for laws to change about this and laws to change about that, but ultimately, the spiritual perfection that we're seeking, it's not going to happen in totality until Jesus comes back. But between now and then, we can live for Him, testify for Him, conform to His image, and be everything that God desires. Father, I thank You for this word tonight, and it is kind of between the eyes for a lot of people I know. And in part, it's because we don't really think about things this way. We don't really think about things from a kingdom perspective. We kind of think about things from what eases our conscience or what is accepted. And Father, the bottom line is Your word doesn't change. So if there's anything in any of us which doesn't line up with the kingdom standards, well, Father, may we be convicted over that, and then may we change it. So I want to thank You again for Your word, because You have made promises to us, and You will stand behind those promises. So I say, may we live the kingdom life and see the kingdom blessings. In Your name, Lord, amen.